So as we're about to start this new podcast series, just before I pushed record here, I asked Alon Reyes, who is the CEO of Reyes Corp, sitting across from me, whether or not he agrees with a statement that I once heard, which is that if you don't have a partner, you are going to fail. And Alon, your answer was insightful, and I don't know if it's worth sharing as a preamble to what we're about to discuss in this first episode.
Thanks, Gareth. I think that there are no definitives in business, but from my experience and from what I have read about partnerships is that if you do have a partner, you're more likely to succeed. It's not that if you don't, you won't succeed. And two partners, i.e. three in total, there is even a higher chance of success. But ironically, when you get to four and beyond, the research shows that with four partners or more, the probability of success diminishes very quickly.
And so if you're listening to this, I think you're on the right track. You're taking the first step in the right direction, because what we're going to be doing in this series is we're going to be looking at a number of very interesting topics related to partnerships and how to make your partnership, perhaps your future partnership, work. And the first topic we're going to be covering is that the differences between partners is the magic. When I say that, Lon, I'm seeing you nodding. Why are you nodding?
Yeah, just maybe some background before I answer that question is that I've been involved with many, many partners over the last 30 years. Most of those partnerships have been very good partnerships. Some have been bad.
And you're not talking about your own partnerships. You're talking about being a partner in businesses that are also partnerships themselves.
Exactly. From a meta perspective, looking at two executive partners in a business where I'm, let's call it the investor or the other partner in the business, and seeing how those work or don't work. Also having had bad partners in my 30 years plus as an entrepreneur, and also having the great privilege of being in a phenomenal partnership for the last 18 years and more. And really trying to ascertain what is what's the magic that makes a partnership work. And it is the difference. And it's when you not only acknowledge but celebrate the difference in your capabilities, in your skills, in your approach, the way that you think about things, when you celebrate those differences. It sounds very cliched, but when you literally have got a view that I'm really, really lucky to have somebody else's perspective in the room when making decisions, when thinking about the future, when making hiring decisions, firing decisions, do we open up in a new geography? Those kinds of decisions, you want to hear other perspectives. And without that, you get a echo chamber. And the same thing is true is if you think that, you know, you're the CEO or the founder or the MD or the big cheese, and you've got the best perspective and the right perspective, it's going to lead to a bad partnership.
You're saying all of this now, but you have the benefit of hindsight. You've got the benefit of a great deal of experience. Where does one, when they are just starting, certainly, or perhaps a couple of years into a partnership where the differences haven't been celebrated or haven't been appreciated as much as they possibly could have been, different perspectives aren't always explored or enjoyed around a particular table, where does one begin this journey of celebrating and understanding the value of differences in a partnership?
Gareth, it's quite simple in the beginning because you've got titles and that sort of gives you a domain area where, so for example, you could have the financial director or the marketing director or the sales director. Generally, the person's skills or experience will be manifested in their title that you would be looking for in a partner. So it stands to reason that if you have got a partner and he or she is the financial director, well, you've brought them in because you're not so good at the finances and they are. So that's quite an easy start. But generally what happens in a startup or an early stage business is that you are jacks of all trades or Jills of all trades or jacks and Jills of all trades. And so you are not only the FD, but you're also handling sales or you're handling operations or whatever the case may be. So there is a diamond head of what your skill set is in terms of your title. But the reality is that there's a whole bunch of other things that you do underneath that because you're a startup and you've got to do those things.
But it sounds like there's another way to do this, and that is to be very selective and very deliberate about the partners that you are getting into bed with here, because that's really what is happening, is you're getting into a long-term relationship with these individuals, and you have to be deliberate.
Yeah, and that metaphor of a marriage is appropriate, because it is hopefully a long-term relationship, and it's about the fact that you want this relationship to work, and there is a need to respect one another and for it to work. When you've got a great partnership, it's great to come to work. When you've got a terrible partnership, it's terrible to come to work. And now you're dealing with, let's call it, the emotions of a partnership and the politics of a partnership, and you're not dealing with the problem at hand, which is running the business and growing the business. And so it takes away a huge amount of the forward motion of building a business if you're in a bad partnership. So by being deliberate and being selective up front, you take away some of the risk of a bad partnership. And so in RaiseCorp's instance, I interviewed for a partner for a year. I interviewed. And I've told the story many times.
How did you advertise?
I just put it out through word of mouth that I'm looking for a partner. I didn't advertise it, so to speak. I just put it through my network that I'm looking for a partner, and started getting various people coming forward, and many of them were A-type personalities, very similar to myself. Some were financially savvy, which I wasn't, but very similar personalities. And I got the sense that there would be a jostling in the future. And not that you wanted a submissive partner, but you wanted a complementary partner. I was looking for specifically if somebody complimented me, not only from a skills perspective, but from a style perspective, and from a way of seeing the world. So my partner is not an A-type personality. He's far calmer than I am. He looks at things in a very different, more balanced way than I do. So I'm far more of a driver. He's more contemplative. And so the thing works very well. So I was looking for that. And I interviewed, and after a year, this man arrives in my office, told me how bad he was at so many things, wearing hiking boots with mud still on them. And I was thinking, who comes to an interview talking about how they'd failed at this and failed at that? But they were pretty good at that, and was having a relaxed conversation, and I immediately knew he was going to be my partner. And it was one of those, like a romantic movie, you know, where I said, I feel it. And he said, I feel it too. And I said, let me think about it. And the next day he was in the office, and I said, what are you doing here? And he said, no, I thought about it. But sometimes it's just like that.
Mm.
But I also have other partnerships as well. You know, as an investor, the whole time that I'm, even as an investor, looking at a partnership, because my approach is far more organic. And I literally imagine while the person's sitting there, and I'm looking at all the business fundamentals, and is there the ability to scale, and you know, is there opportunity for us to add value? Whilst I'm doing all the, let's call it, the technical analysis around the business, I'm watching this individual and I'm imagining myself as their partner. And I'm thinking, would this work? Could I be this person's partner? Do I like this person? Could I imagine myself in a partnership with this person for many, many years? And both Colin and I, Colin's my partner in RaiseCorp, both Colin and I are very, very definitive about the fact that if we don't feel the right chemistry with that individual, if we don't feel we could work with them, and coming back to the fact that you want it to be nice and easy and happy and light, if you feel that you either are driving somebody else or that there's going to be a lot of conflict, then I walk away from the deal no matter what all the analytics say. If the analytics say this is going to be the best deal in the world, and the partnership doesn't feel right, I'll walk just because of that.
So as you are listening to Alon's words, I'm wondering and I'm hoping that you are assessing the approach that you are either putting forward to finding a partner, or looking back at what you have experienced and are taking this all in. We're now going to move into some of the meat of some of the differences that can occur in partnerships, which also then results in this magic that we're talking about. Alon, let's explore magic.
Yeah, so the differences, I think, depend on the different partnerships. So the differences could be work ethic. You know, everyone thinks that you have to all have exactly the same work ethic. My experience is that it's impossible. You can't have two partners with the same work ethic. In one of the future podcasts, I'm going to cover the fact that my partner and I have exactly the same salary, yet we have different titles and we have different work ethics. I believe I work a lot harder. Colin believes he works a lot smarter. And I've accepted that. He's accepted that. I accept that my issue around having to work hard is my issue. So it's about celebrating that. It's about celebrating the fact that we get to results in different ways. I think the issue is the acceptance first of the difference is that very often we're given this symmetrical lens that if you're in a partnership, it all has to be the same. And especially if you're earning the same and perhaps you have the same level of equity, then everything has to be the same. But it can't be the same. We're not the same people. We don't do things in the same way. We don't view the world in the same way. So therefore, it can never be the same. And once you get over the fact that you don't need to be the same, then you look for, well, what are you good at? I'll give you an example in my partnership. I'm pretty good with building rapport and putting deals together, and I'm generally very good with strategy. Whereas Colin is very good in negotiating, and he's a much tougher individual than I am. So if there's any conflict, Colin's a much better person to walk into conflict than I am. So if there's a client that might owe us money, Colin will make the call. It's not that I won't make the call if I don't need to. And then sometimes, let's say within a certain department, it needs a hard touch. And Colin is not the appropriate person to do that for whatever the reason may be. I will step in and be that person. But generally, Colin takes on a certain role and I will take on another role. And to me, it's not that one role is better than the other role. If you look at it holistically, the whole thing works because businesses have to sell, businesses have to have a good strategy, businesses have to have good products, but businesses have to collect money too. Businesses have to operate well as well. Businesses have to have good terms. There's a lot of things that we both contribute and the whole thing works. There's a fable about a man who's sitting at the barber having a haircut and somebody comes in to sell lottos. And the man who's having the haircut buys the lotto ticket from the man who's selling at the barber. And it so happens that he wins the lotto and he comes back to the barber and he gives him half the winnings. And the barber said, but you bought the ticket. And the man says, yeah, but I wouldn't have bought the ticket if I wasn't sitting in the chair at your barber shop. So the only reason I bought the ticket is because of you. And so that fable is the story of a good partnership. It's recognizing that you could be greedy and you can take all the credit and you can feel all self-important. But if you don't see the other person's role in your total success, it's a bad partnership, in my opinion.
And exactly that. If he was not there to buy the ticket, he wouldn't have been able to win the lotto. And I think that's what we are talking about here, is that partnerships allow you to be in the right place at the right time to buy the ticket. Don't ever underestimate the value of the differences that exist in your partnership. All right, we'll be back next week with another podcast in this series. This time we're talking about rhythm and no blues. And as you can hear from that title, it's going to be another value-packed conversation that is unlike anything else that you're going to find out there, even if you asked ChatGPT for a list. All right, we'll see you next week.